So, precious treasure, here it is. Take it. Pick up one right now. Get your Bible out. Precious treasure, thou art mine. We learn from this book. Okay, it is to your very great benefit that you have this book open and your nose in the book all the time. Why don't you open your Bible right now? We are going to read one of the most precious treasures out of it. Nedra has the reading for us today. It's Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 9. This is a treasure that you've heard a couple of times, but it's still beautiful. So, Sister Nedra, Philippians 4, 4 through 9.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you.
All right, very good. Let's pray. Precious Father, thank you for your wonderful words to us in the Scriptures. We pray for one another now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, through the words of Paul, would do his good and abiding work in each of our hearts, purify us, strengthen us, and equip us for every good work, as your word says it will do. And we pray in Jesus' amen. All right, so this morning we come to the final verse of this little handbook for Christian living, as I've been calling it. So six verses from 4 to 9. If you diligently follow this guidance that the Holy Spirit has given to us by way of the pen of Paul, surely you will enjoy many days of peace and happiness throughout life as a child of God through Jesus Christ. Keep these verses handy. Next week we're going to move on to the next passage. Don't forget these. Okay? You remember how it says in Deuteronomy where the Lord told the Israelites to write these words on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, and you know, wear them on your forehead, and you know, inscribe them on your hearts. Talk about them with your children as you go in and go out, and as you come in and lay down and rise. Look, these are the words, right? Come back to these words over and over again and do what they tell you. They are straight from the mind of God himself, and they are for the happiness and benefit of his sons and daughters. Like Peter says, if you do these things, you will never fall. Okay, and does that sound like a bold claim? You think I'm promising more than God is able to deliver? I assure you, he is able to deliver. And I'm sorry to say that, you know, peace and contentment and trust seem to be so far away from some people that they have concluded that such a thing just isn't possible for mankind. Well, they're wrong. Okay, it says right here in this passage, the Lord is at hand. Right? The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. So today we come to verse 9. I'm not going to go back over verses 4 to 8 except to say that this is all a bundle deal. Okay, it's just like a bouquet. You can inspect each flower individually and appreciate its unique beauty and its goodness, but that flower came as part of a bunch. Okay, the loveliness of each one of the flowers contributes to the grandeur of the whole thing, and it certainly is as a whole thing. It's magnificent. Okay, verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So this is about the importance of following a truly biblical role model. Paul had lived and taught among these folks in Philippi. They had got to know him very well. They knew how much Christ meant to him and filled his whole life. They saw his zeal for bringing others into the knowledge of God. They observed his humility and his energy, his patient suffering, his obedience to God, his personal character, his prayer life. Paul, the apostle, provides a role model for us to imitate, inasmuch as he lived and labored and died for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and was filled with the joy and the peace and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit all throughout. Now, what Christian would not want to be able to say that, to say the same? To me, to live is Christ. Right? What Christian would be ashamed to be able to say a thing like that? To me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If only every single one of us would be able to say that without pretending or overstating the matter or just wishing it would be the case for me. Okay? First, let's talk about one of the uses. Why did we just sing this song, Holy Bible, Book Divine? Let's talk about one of the uses of the New Testament scriptures. Why read the Holy Bible, Book Divine? Why read and study the New Testament? Well, among plenty of reasons, and you just sang about 8 or 9 of them, among other reasons, one of the things that we gain from the New Testament scriptures is that we are provided with lived examples of Christian discipleship. So you see Peter and James and John, you get some small glimpses of some other disciples, but the one who receives the most space is Paul. Okay, with Peter being second, I would say, you know, as far as the amount of space taken up by the accounts of Peter. Not that Peter is a lesser disciple, not that Peter is not a great example for us to follow and imitate him. It's just that Paul is given the most space. Besides about 20 chapters worth of the book of Acts, plus 13 of his letters, which showcase his, you know, this man's mind, his faith, his activities, travels, his preaching, his sufferings, his endurance, his loyalty to the Lord Jesus, who loved him and gave himself for him. Okay, he's the chief of sinners, but he has been transformed. Okay, this is a man whose life has been radically transformed and thereafter wholly dedicated to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Other than the Lord himself, who of course is an exception for obvious reasons, Paul is the one whose manner of life is most clearly set out for us as someone whose faith and character we are to imitate. So read your Bible, pay careful attention to this man. He just said in the previous chapter, if you want to let your eyes go back there, 3:17, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern." Okay, you have us for a pattern. Secondly, I want to say a word about how what should be our conception of Paul. Of course, much of the church refers to him as Saint Paul. In my opinion, this is not helpful. It's not helpful to constantly refer to him as Saint Paul. I am sure that he himself would not want to be called that and would refuse to be called that, because what it does is it makes him remote from the typical believer. Okay, and so for the church to set apart a certain elite, exclusive group or class of Christian believers and call them the saints, Saint Matthew, Saint Mark, Saint Jude, and so on, is to institute a hierarchy of believers that the scriptures themselves do not countenance or permit. Okay, so we do not venerate Paul. We do not adore Paul. We do not pray to Paul or to any other so-called saint. There is one mediator between God and those are his own words. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And we absolutely do not worship Paul. Paul is our brother. Understand? Paul is our brother. Now, he did receive a special calling from the Lord Jesus personally to be an apostle, and Jesus endowed him with a special authority to teach and preach and be a channel of gospel revelation, right? To be his ambassador to the Gentiles, not to mention preaching to the Jews too. and he certainly will receive an abundant reward from God on that day. Okay, he will receive a crown of glory. But the apostles themselves would say, and did say, "Don't kneel to me. I'm just a man like you are. Revere God." Okay, worship God alone. Pray to him alone. You go to the Father through Jesus Christ, not through Paul, not through me. Now, of course, our ultimate example of the one to imitate is the Lord Jesus himself. And even Paul says, "This is whose image and likeness we are all being renewed in by the activity of the Holy Spirit." Okay, we talk about Christ-likeness, not Paul-likeness, right? However, in Paul, God has provided us with an example of Christ-likeness in an ordinary, redeemed mortal man in whom the Spirit of Christ is at work, which is our same status, right? Jesus himself is perfect, you know, never was anything but perfect, and we cannot, strictly speaking, be exactly like Jesus Christ, not even in the next life, right? Because he's the Son of God and we're his creatures, right? We will be morally perfect, but we still won't be equal to the Lord Jesus Christ. So of course, he's the ultimate, but show me a man who started in sin like I did. Show me what can become of a man once the Lord Jesus Christ in his mercy has laid a hold of him and shown him his glory and has shared his mind with him. Okay, here's a genuine lived example of what the love and power of Jesus Christ can do in a redeemed life. And so what that does, that brings the reality of the power of Almighty God down to my level where it needs to be. Okay, here's an ordinary guy from South Jersey rather than somebody who is, you know, portrayed in gold paint with a halo in a frame, you know, and indecipherable Greek script up on the wall of the cathedral. Okay? Somebody who, like, that person never knew what it was like to be tainted by sin or to resist the will of God like I sometimes do. Okay? Paul is not supposed to be remote from us. He's our brother. He's like my big brother, shows me how it's done. And you can see in several places in his letters that Paul is well aware that God is using him as an example to other believers in this way. And, you know, you might think a person would get a big head about it, but he doesn't, absolutely doesn't. But that still doesn't change the fact of the matter. So, for example, over in 1 Corinthians, it's 11:1, I believe, there's a spot where Paul says, "Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ." Okay, so here what he says, 4:9, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." So get to know this man, read the things that he wrote, read them again and again. Go to Acts and read what Luke wrote about him, what Luke recorded about his travels and work and his manner of life. I mean, how are you going to imitate somebody that you haven't done the research on? So worship him, no. Admire him, yes. Okay, imitate him, yes. Hold to his teaching about the gospel, absolutely. Okay, he is a channel of divine revelation. But when all is said and done, he would say, like the Lord Jesus told us we should say, "I'm only an unworthy servant. All I have done is what was my duty to do." Okay, so the praise and the glory belong to Jesus. As much as I know that in that day, Jesus is going to welcome me into his glory. Okay, you see, Paul successfully ran the journey that was set out for him. Our own calling is to do the same. What he did, we can do, and the blessings that he received from God, they're also held out to us if we imitate his faith and his way of life. So, down to the main point. He wrote, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." Let's break down this verse, 4:9. "The things that you learned and received and heard and saw in me." So learned has to do with teaching. Okay, the word used here is the same root word that's used over in the four Gospels for the word disciple. Okay, the word is mathetes. It means a learner. Okay, a learner and a follower. Someone who is instructed. There's things you didn't know before, now you know them, How did you come to know them? Well, you learned them from me. Remember that Paul is the first one who brought the gospel to Philippi. Other people would come after him, right? There were some of those others who came after him would teach the same thing. Others of them would teach different things. How do you know what to cling to and what to believe? The things you learned from me. Okay, me, Paul. If anyone, even an angel from heaven, were to come and to preach you a gospel other than the one that you received from us, that we preach to you, that's him and Silas, it's damnable. Understand? What you learned from me. Received implies things that are passed on, right? Something handed over to you, which you take to yourself and which you are to preserve intact and then hopefully pass on again. So for example, there are two passages in Paul's writings. There's the passage about the Lord's Supper. We'll read it in a little bit. There's a passage about the resurrection of Jesus Christ where he says, I delivered to you that which I also received. Okay, there's that word. So I have brought you and I have delivered you certain truths and realities about the Lord Jesus Christ. You received them. Keep them. Guard them. Uncorrupted. Unchanged. Remember what Paul wrote to Timothy? Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Okay, I handed over this package. I handed over this thing that you received. Guard it and keep it. You received it from me. And then heard and saw, those two words have to do with the Philippians' personal interactions with Paul himself on his several visits to them. They watched his way of life. Okay, they heard the tone of voice that he used when he spoke. They observed him praying. They saw, for example, how he would interact with children and how he would interact with the elderly and how he would interact with women. What his attitude was about money. They saw how he handled oppression and opposition from the townspeople and from the magistrates. They saw how he would have corrected a false teaching, how he responded to threats and so on. Okay, you remember in Philippi is where he and Silas were publicly stretched out and beaten with rods and then thrown in jail and put in the stocks. And then in the middle of the night, an earthquake shook the place. But he begged the jailer not to harm himself and instead preached Jesus to him even when he was black and blue. Okay, so the Philippians heard and saw all of that. So here's a man who, you know, he does not preach but doesn't practice what he preaches. You can see that his single goal is to please God. And he says that. Am I trying to please men or am I trying to please God? If I were trying to please people, well, you know that I could tailor my gospel to whatever people think to, they like the best. Okay, and certainly if I did that, I could spare myself beatings and imprisonment and being run out of town and so on. All right, but I have been entrusted with the stewardship of the gospel, and I must please God who gave it to me, which means telling the truth no matter what it costs. Okay, it means living a life in Christian love and faithfulness and holiness and peacemaking and unity and contentment. Some of this we'll see in the next passage, right? Just the next few verses. He says, I have learned what it is to be content in every circumstance, whether in plenty or whether in need. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. And the Philippians, they're seeing that in him. Okay, this is a man who the God of peace is with him. So as for you and me, of course, you know, we're not going to get to hear and see Paul personally. He's gone. Other than the recorded words that are in Scripture, okay, I mean, you have some of his, couple of his sermons are encapsulated in Acts, for example. We have his letters. But you and I are not going to get to sit down at a meal with him and talk about life. And we're not going to stay up late with him talking about the kingdom of God. We're not going to have him come break the bread and share the cup with us like these people got to. But we can get a very clear profile of his personality and values and his highest priorities and his joy at belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ and his absolute devotion to spending the rest of his life honoring him and serving him. Okay, we see his love for people, shepherd's heart, his steadfast. Okay, I could go on and on. But we are not meant to just see the things and appreciate him as a man, right? We're not meant to just see them and say, how I admire Paul. Okay, all the things you learned, received, heard, and saw, do. Okay, you should do the same. That is the whole point of verse 9. Okay, what's the power word of this verse? What's the imperative verb? Do these things. Okay, if all you get out of reading your Bible and studying Paul is, wow, what a guy. Isn't he amazing? Then you miss the point. Okay, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you too. Which means you also have to have the same love for people, even for strangers, as he had. You also are to be courageous and steadfast in your lifelong devotion to Jesus Christ, no matter the cost, as he was. You also should be a person of hearty prayer, as he was. Now, you also should be willing to spend and be spent, right? That means devote your own personal resources and your energy to care for individuals, to go and tell, to build up the church of Jesus Christ, to defend the flock against the devil and his liars. Okay, are you following me on this? Insofar as Christianity is a body of doctrines, learn the doctrines and receive them. But insofar as Christianity is also a manner of life and principles for personal conduct, learn that and receive that as well. Copy the apostle. So for instance, Paul, labored with his own hands sewing tents to supply his own needs so as not to be a burden to the baby churches, showing by his example that if a man will not work, he is not to eat. Okay? And he even says, I was an example to you of hard work and self-support. Okay? He says this to the Thessalonians, you know what sort of men we were among you. You know how we never used flattery. You know how we were gentle among you as a nursing mother cherishes her children. You know how we exhorted and charged you the way a father does with his children. You know our labor and toil. You know how we suffered in Philippi. Okay? What you saw in me, do the same. Now, there's a verse in Acts where Paul says he always strives to have a conscience without offense toward God and toward men. Okay, because he knows the resurrection, the judgment and the resurrection are ahead of us. He always strives to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Well, that means you do that also. Paul learned the secret of being content, whether with little or with much. You do the same. Okay, that should be you. It should be me. That's God's will for us. So you see, the value of having a man like this set before us, both in his body of teachings and in his manner of living, The value of that is that we can trace what is actually right and pleasing to God back to a primary source. So, you know, even in our day, many generations later, we have access to that primary source. You know, here's a specifically appointed disciple that the Word of God directs us to imitate, which means we can skip over a lot of stuff that's in between. We can skip over a lot of confusion that would result from if we only imitated our immediate forebears. Okay, do you see that? You know, Paul does not tell the churches, Christians, it's very important that you preserve the traditions that your parents give to you or your grandparents. Okay, and in my opinion, this is how church traditions gradually get off the path, as we were only looking at, you know, this is how we've always done things around here. It's what my parents did and grandparents did. Paul says, imitate me, not imitate your grandpa or your professor or the bishop or the pope or your whoever your favorite reformer might be. Okay, imitate me. The Lord Jesus handpicked this person for us. Okay, so learn from him. Now, obviously, in a practical sense, you have to learn from a person, right? You have to learn from a pastor, a teacher, but you better find out who is the pastor and teacher learning from, or who has he learned. Okay, that better be Paul. It doesn't do you a lot of good to learn from a pastor or a teacher who isn't learning from Paul and who isn't fashioning his own life and principles after those. So I like how he calls Timothy, take Timothy, you know, his true son in the faith. I like how he calls Timothy a true son in the faith. And he says, like a son alongside his father, he has served beside me in the gospel. Okay, well, Timothy has seen my whole way of life. And I've mentioned to you before, when you read the Timothy letters, and I like to do this, and I think it's a good idea, I think it's especially a good idea for a minister to do it, read the Timothy letters as though you're Timothy, and there's Paul speaking to you. You, young man, do this, do that. Okay, it's a healthy thing. Over in Corinthians, it's 1 Corinthians 4:17, listen to what he says. He's talking to a different church. I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Okay, see, it was important that the Corinthian church learn Paul's ways. And he sent Timothy over there, and Timothy's supposed to say, look, my brothers, learn Paul's ways. Okay, like I said, if this was anybody else, it would sound like an awfully puffed up thing to say. But the truth is, Christ did set forth Paul as an example of his mercy and his life-giving power in the soul of a redeemed sinner. Okay? And he entrusted the propagation of the gospel to him. Also this is from 2 Timothy. Paul says to him, but you, my son, you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life. Okay, are you hearing that? You have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions and afflictions which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Out of them all the Lord delivered me, but all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution as evil men and impostors get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned, same word here, the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them. Okay, that's important, knowing from whom you learned them. From whom did I learn them? From the handpicked apostle of Jesus Christ, who himself once was a persecutor and an unbeliever and a violent man, but God was pleased to reveal his son in him and set him apart for the truth of the gospel to all nations. So copy the example that God gives you in the divinely inspired book, the things you learned and received and heard and saw in Paul the Apostle, do them. Blessed are you if you do them. Not blessed are you if you read them, but if you do them. And what's the blessing with which you'll be blessed? He says it here, the God of peace will be with you. Okay? Apart from him, there isn't peace. You understand, peace is not just a state of being that you kind of discover and come to on your own. Peace is in God, the God of peace, right? The God who makes peace through his cross, the God whose spirit in you produces the fruit that is peace. Okay, you see all around, people are looking for peace, but they don't want to have anything to do with the God of peace. I'm sorry, but that is futility. It's a wild goose chase. But peace, brothers and sisters, is for you, and it's for me, by trusting in Jesus Christ and living the kind of life that is molded for you by, modeled for you by the real men and women in the Bible, in these pages. Okay? Imitate those who, through faith and endurance, inherit the promises. Okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it once again. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentle forbearance be visible to all men. The Lord is near. He is right at hand. Don't be anxious about a thing. but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, take your requests to God and present them to at his feet, and the peace of God, which is beyond understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. And whatever things are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report, dwell on such things. And whatever you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you always to the end of the age. Thanks be to God for his abiding peace. Thanks for his scriptures. Thanks for his Holy Spirit who lives in me and lives in you. May he give you his peace at all times, always. Thank you, Lord God, for your love for us. Thank you for this precious little passage from the scriptures. We know that you have loved us. You have supplied us with all of the things that we need for life and godliness. May your children take them to heart, meditate on them, think on them, write them on the doorposts of their house, and more importantly than that, write them on the walls of their heart. So we pray, Lord Jesus, that your peace would go with us, that we would produce the good fruit of everlasting life, not just in ourselves, but carry it to others. May we walk in the footsteps of this special man that you have called to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentile world. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the fellowship of the saints. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And thank you for your peace. I pray in Jesus Christ. Amen.